It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello, and welcome to the second funniest podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 435, and with me, as always, is the 1-3, the 2-3, the E-3. The 3, KevinMiller.com 3. Woo! Jumping E3, Kevin.
Oh, man, what a great convention we had.
I know.
Kevin, you had such a great time.
I would have stalked because Sam opened us up with such a British festivities. I don't know why I'm reacting like we haven't been using this for almost a year now.
Over a year.
Have we been using the same thing song for over a year?
Yeah, it's time to change it.
Okay.
Sam wanted us to fill out a quiz to change it. We didn't do that. So Sam,
we have
just
to do like a Match.com situation.
Make a new one. Why? Don't make us jump through hoops, brother.
I could make a theme song. I'm perfectly capable.
I know you
it's
are.
It's more fun. Here's
but
what I think.
I'm saying, like, Sam said, we asked him to make a new one. He said he'd do it. But he said he sent in these questions.
435 coming out strong with Sam going under the bus.
Nah, he knows.
Suck it, Sam.
Sam.
Right now, it's 4 in the morning. Sam is quietly asleep. He doesn't have a parcel to wait for. So he's quietly asleep, doesn't know. His ears are burning in dreamland, and he doesn't know. He's like, oh, there's a bus
on top of me
right now.
He waits up until the new SFP comes out. He
doesn't ever sleep.
E3 was amazing.
I know. Kevin comes back. This is why I mentioned the British thing. Kevin came from E3 to my house today. Like he just went on like a holiday. Like it was
like a cruise.
Yeah. That's he came back with gifts galore but they were
that
all for him.
Bag has never been full or of swag. And I got swag that most people won't get.
Yeah. He's very happy and
I'm interrupting your story.
No, I have no story. You're the story. This is what we're here for. It's more it's his badge. Oh my gosh. Exhibits only. It only gets you into exhibits.
Shut up. They don't need to.
As opposed to
meeting rooms.
Oh, I see.
Or the press hall.
Oh, I see.
There's like a hospitality room for the press.
I thought that they put, because that would be, if I made passes like this for an event, I would say, you know, whatever it would be. Like, I would say exhibits only, but that gets you into everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if it's the general admission
like
thing,
that.
It would just be like, it would be this only, but I guess that's the opposite of what I want. I want it to be like cool. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's like on The Office when he gave out security clearance badges for the media. And he's like, level 11, out of 55.
Yikes.
Or the folks, when they first started the Blue Man Group, they set up shop across the street from the chic New York nightclub that was like, you had to be know somebody to get in and that kind of thing.
And so
they set up velvet ropes out in front of this just shack and they're just dancing in there. And anybody can walk up and they open up the velvet rope, dance with you, let you out of the velvet rope. And they became the Blue Man Group.
Well, now you can't get tickets to that thing. You can't get in there. Always sold out.
So tough. So E3, you've never been to E3,
no.
Right? Yeah, we were discussing why.
Why have I never been? Because I've been to Comic-Con, but I was paid to be there. And it's like we talk about on the show, I'm a nerd in the closet, like unintentionally. Like,
no, you're you're a Madden gamer.
No, I'm not. I don't think so, because here's what I think I am. I'm that dude that we all went to elementary school with, and especially now. Maybe not so much when you and I were kids. It was more high school, I think, when you and I were kids.
Yeah.
But now in the world, elementary school, you could look at a kid and go, I think that kid's kind of gay. Now, you're not supposed to judge him, obviously. You know what I mean? But
he's got a sweater vest.
And then it's poor Sam. He's getting lots
Does
of
Does he sound like he wears a sweater vest?
Does he sound like he likes other men? No, but my point is this. You know it, and then all of a sudden, like on Facebook now, I have classmates that I never did because I think that's horribly stupid and just now I feel like I'm setting myself up to sound sarcastic, but I really do mean it. I have a dear friend who was gay that I think we've talked about on this show that for years I didn't even know it never even entered my brain. He would flirt with me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, it's a bit. We all do bits where we flirt with each other. But anyway, here's my real point.
What's your real point?
I'm the guy that you look at in elementary school who played the flag football at recess and was like, that dude's really a nerd. He's really a nerd deep down inside.
Yeah, you were probably like a sleeper agent. Or what's the, like a versatile guy? Like you could hang out with the jocks, you could hang out with the gamer geeks.
Until I hit high school. Once I hit high school, I played freshman football. Yeah. And there was a guy, the guy that was just in front of me at outside linebacker, ditch practice, went like just ditched school the week before the game. The coach threw me in to make a point. To say, well, I guess since you didn't come to practice, we're going to get Worsham in there because, you know. And I used to, like, it was weird the way I grew in middle school. I was tall and lanky and fast, bigger than most of the kids. And in high school, I chubbed out, and then everybody else got tall. And then in sophomore, I grew again and got skinny again. But anyway, so he throws me in there. I just get slaughtered. Like, I just get run over. But I was so happy.
Were you the quarterback?
No, I was the outside linebacker.
Oh, wow.
So it was just every sweep. Then we had this tight end who was also like the biggest kid in school. Nice. So it's like this tight end was supposed to pick block me, and he would literally just push me down with one arm. And so it was, and then essentially I saw the coach, you know, talking to the guy who was, I think his name was Daniel McGee. But anyway, he was talking to him and this other kid that, you know, cut practice. And he's like, and he kind of in so many words was saying, you think I'm going to have to, that's what Worsham's going to be out there. That's what we're going to have happen. And I wasn't offended. Like, honestly, I was like.
So if that's the truth, then why have you abandoned your people? Because us gamers love you.
No, I did. So I haven't abandoned them.
Forget about the jocks.
But I'm not.
This is High School Musical, but it's about video games.
We're forcing a storyline that isn't real?
Like High School Musical. Come on. There it goes.
One of us has seen that movie.
None of us.
The other one.
Have you
is
seen
me.
It? Yeah, I was going to say, I've never seen it.
Oh, I thought you have. That's why you know the story.
No. I mean, who doesn't know the story? It's a classic story.
Classic. Is it classic, really? We need to stop talking about this and talk about E3. I'm sorry.
E3. Why wouldn't you go to E3? Because you just don't have time.
Well, no. Yeah.
You don't care.
I went to Comic-Con
really like
and I enjoyed it. I hate doing this show. I hate you.
There's so much truth in this.
I'm going to go sing a song about it with a basketball real quick.
I knew it.
I think I would enjoy it, but like I was saying before we turned the mics on, that I like going for people watching because I feel like I want to see, I like to watch other people enjoy things. It's really weird. I don't want to sit there and judge. That's not my point. I want to sit there and watch the people go, oh my gosh, is that Dishonored or whatever
tattoo you gave my son.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this, and have it be something I have no idea about and just watch them.
That was me at Skylanders.
Yeah. Now, were you easily the oldest guy there?
We got it. No, not at all. But let's not jump to the end of the pudding.
Okay.
Let's start off with the salad.
All right. Okay. Forget about me. Let's talk about what's going on there. You walk in, what do you see?
Well, you go to, if you haven't been to E3, you can see a lot of pictures online. It hasn't changed much because it's been at the same convention hall for a decade and a half.
Did you see Bradley was posting pictures on the Facebook page that they have like the convention hall set up on PlayStation Home, and you make your own avatar and walk around and take pictures with friends.
Yeah, and check it out and stuff. There's a lot less crowded.
easier to get a ticket.
Yeah. Get right in. Yeah. But it's quite incredible. You would like the outside of it because you come and it's like video game world. Like there is a 80-foot tall poster of PlayStation out in front, just the PS logo. You know, whatever new game that everybody's talking about, like a couple years ago was Old Republic, Skyrim or whatever. There's stuff for Lord of the Rings, just wall the ceiling high. The buildings in the neighborhood, like the Figueroa building around the corner, is nothing but a giant poster for video games. So the whole downtown is transformed into the language that you know very well.
Yeah.
Then there are booth babes everywhere. So, like, even before you walk in, they're Nas, the high energy fuel drink that they have.
Yeah, nitrous.
Yeah, exactly. They got girls out there in skimpy stuff, whatever, handing out stuff. And then that's where I people watch, is to watch the dudes walk up to the girls and be like, and then
do they really?
Oh, yeah. You can see their eyes. You can watch them look, and they're trying
to dart down at boobs. Is that what you're saying?
Not look, but look, but not look, but look, and want to get a picture or whatever. And some of the girls, depending on the booth, are dressed up like that.
We're bringing a camera. And here's what I'm going to be. No, I want you to tape from afar. Like, I'll be mic'd up.
Yeah.
And I want to walk up to these booth babes, and I want to honestly hit on each and every one of them.
Oh, it won't. They're pros.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I want to see the ninjutsu. You don't. Yeah. You know
they're
what I mean?
Good.
You don't really. You watch a NASCAR race for the crashes. You don't watch a karate competition to see the guy get their butt beat. You get to see the guy excel.
I don't. You're too charming. That's your problem.
You think I could actually score?
I think they would find you interesting.
Yeah.
Is the problem. The guys that they're dealing with are like not interesting. They got nothing going for them. And they come up to these girls and you can see it in their faces of like, okay, this is my job. I'm here to do this. I was talking to a buddy, and he said that last year, it was like they seem to go in waves, right? Yeah. It's loud one year, the next year it's really quiet. It's a ton of technology, the next year it's software. It's a ton of, so last year it was a ton of booth bay. This year it wasn't too bad. There was one girl in the worst booth bays are always outside the convention hall. They're the ones that are wearing like next to nothing.
Did you see Adrienne Curry there? She was a booth babe this year. I saw her talk about it on Twitter.
What was she doing?
I can't remember that. She was with somebody, some developer. I can't remember which one it was.
Lollipop Chainsaw.
It might have been.
Yeah. More on that later. So the what about the booth babes and girls? Booth babes last year, apparently, there were girls. There was something that was completely irrelevant to gaming, and they were there anyway. And to get people to their booth, they had a bounce house with girls in it. To bouncing around, it gets better, wearing raccoon tails.
Yeah.
And the game was crawl in the bounce house with them and get the tails off their asses.
Yeah. Oh. Come to E3, boys, and get a little tail.
And then check out this E-Surance ad. Like, that was the thing. Why are we here? Okay, so.
That's right, ladies. Get in that bouncy house because we're going to have some nerds that are going to be plugging your tail. We're going to get a little poonous thievious. That's right. Seriously, all ladies must be of age, and so must the boys.
So you come up, and this was day three, and I'm glad I went on day three. Apparently, some of the people have even remarked, are like, oh, there's less people here today. My 3G is working. That's how many people here. Apparently, Wednesday was crazy. So Thursday, before the doors even open, the lines are all the way through the convention hall lobby into the outside. So mm-hmm. They'll be like, oh, what's this line? Oh, crap. So I walk inside. This is the only negative thing I have to share. So they send you your badge, but not the badge holder. So to get in, you need this. They have this like special laminated badge holder. It's how they know that you're a legitimate E3er.
Oh, so you can't just use any old.
Exactly. That's how. So because that way you can't print it. Like they send these out months ahead of time. So you could be like, okay, well, let's make this and get in there. So they do this something special to the badge. It's yellow. It's a but yellow badge.
I don't know. Okay.
Theft, they have to deter it.
If people, I just feel like if people want to get in it that bad, they'll get in it. Yeah.
And you can stand.
Especially nerds.
If you get out there at noon or two on any given day of the convention, you just stand there, you'll see people being like, hey, man, are you done with that badge? Can I get in with it? And because some people just go for the day.
Yeah.
And they give you the badge and you walk in because they don't check your IDs at the door. Once you have this badge, you're done. So I walk up. There's like a huge area for registration and stuff. I walk inside. I mean, the queue is empty. No one's there. There's like a dozen people behind this giant counter that's bigger than this apartment complex. I mean, it's just a giant indoor registration area. And so I walk up and I wait my turn up to the line and I walk in. She could barely look at me and I hand her my badge as exactly what the instructions say to do. And she goes, no, we don't have any of those. And takes it from me and starts to put it inside the holder here. And I was like, what do I have? You don't have any vouchers, any holders. I was like, oh, wait, do I need to do something more? She's like, no, I've got this one, so I'm going to just give it to you. But there's kiosks. There's tents outside, so you can just do it outside. I'm like, do I need to go out there and do it? She's like, no, it's fine. You can take this one. Here you go. I'm like, well, thanks for going the extra mile. Like, thanks for doing it. I appreciate it. All you had to have said was, that's outside.
It says on my badge, exhibits only. Does that include the guilt trip you're giving me?
Exactly.
Is this part of it? Am I going to get charged extra?
And here's the thing. It's not like I'm going to do this again tomorrow. Yeah. It's not like I've learned something.
Once you have it, you're done.
I'm done. Yeah. Like, if she had just said.
Because they have day passes and week passes, right?
It's all the whole convention. So
you get one pass.
One pass for the whole thing. Once I had shown her the badge, she'd just been like, I'm sorry, that's outside. I've been like, sounds great, because it was the line I was in for was for buying new passes and that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Oh, so you
but, but she knew she would have been an ass to turn me away because there was nobody there.
Yeah,
I was all
that
by
early?
Myself.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Well, because it was over. Like everybody has their passes, everybody's done. You know,
they're
it's
already in
day
it.
Three. Yeah. Nobody's getting new passes. That's why I went on day three. So that was it. Then I finally got my pass and go inside. So where do I go first? got to go to the Sony booth. So yeah. I'd see Matt and Glenn up there.
Of Sanzuru.
So the second story of the PlayStation stuff is where they do all their media stuff. So the way they got it lined out, I don't know if it's like this on the home, but they like there's a TV every 5 feet, an LCD screen, and then the developers are just standing in front of it, and they're just like cycling through interviewers. So I watched them while I was there. I'm like, oh, look, there they are. There's the guys up there, and they're just waiting for the next, like,
they're
IGN
on deck.
The camera.
So they're saying the same thing again.
Over and over. Wow. I saw Glenn at a party on Tuesday night, and he's like, I just keep saying the same thing.
What is it? What did you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you say again?
But those guys, they're so great. On Tuesday night, they invited me to their little industry party in downtown LA, and we hung out, had some drinks and stuff. And they're a class act. Like, Sanzuru is a good development company. You can tell because they're all just having a good time. Like, they look forward to seeing each other. They invite people in. Are they good behind folks?
The stealing of the raccoon tails on Booth Babes and
Bouncy
House? Yes,
that's them. They're like, no. I told you. It had nothing to do with video games at all.
That's hilarious.
So I went over. The first thing I tried was PlayStation Battle Royale. And you get 3 rounds to play the character, and you play against 3 other dudes. And
this is the one that's kind of like Heroes on the Move.
Super Smash Brothers Melee is what everybody refers it to.
But it has the guys from Heroes on the Move. Like, there's Nathan Drake and those.
Heroes on the Move just had the big three. It had Ratchet and Clank, Jack and Daxter, and Sly Cooper and Bentley. The turtle. And so this one is, right now, they've released 8 characters. So it's got Sly, it's got God of War, Kratos, it's got...
They're making a new game of that. I saw that on Amazon.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah.
Pre-ordered, mother sucker!
It's got Fat Princess. It's got...
pre-ordered, not really!
Big Daddy from Bioshock. It's got Nathan Drake. It's got a bunch of stuff. So you bounce around and stuff. But the fun part of it is once you build up a level 3 super, like you do enough damage, you can tap out at 1 or 2. But if you do 3, you get this like ridiculous ability that just creams everybody else. I haven't seen it online, so if you've seen this, then this is old news. But the Sly Cooper special is pretty great. So you once it happens, like, the whole game stops. So when you're Sweet Tooth, like, all the action stops. He puts on the suit and he just kills everybody. So for Sly, the whole game stops, and it brings up the old school like Binoculcom view where Bentley and Sly are talking to each other. And then the Binoculcom view, you periscope around the screen and try to find people through a sliver of the screen. And if you see them and hit the button, 1 shot, 1 kill.
Wow.
And you got about 5 seconds to find everybody on the screen. And there's nothing they can do. The only thing they can do is run. That's it. And you got 5 seconds to just wipe them all out.
That sounds fun.
It's a great special. Meanwhile, the whole world is like changing and evolving and exploding, and it's a combination of two PlayStation games at the same time. We battled on the Little Big Planet world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's empty. When you first start, there's nothing in the room. It's just like cute little checkerboards. And then the little pop-up window keeps adding. And then they keep adding things. So then there's like a tree and then a little level.
Wow.
And then another thing. As you're playing, like more and more things. And then some other quiz show game gets smashed into the middle of it. And there are these words that are like, what is this? I couldn't pay attention to it because I'm busy getting my butt kicked. And then for some reason, none of us somehow got the answer right. I don't know how we could have. And we all died.
So I've never played Super Smash Brothers, but am I right that it's like a Mario Party meets a fighting game?
Well, that's what Super Smash Brothers is. It's all the properties, and some third-party properties, because like God of War is not a Sony exclusive game, but they bring it in to this world and you get to play all against each other. And the story of the game that will be come out later is that all these worlds are being smashed together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, and I think it's a unique concept that it's not just.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Because it's fun, like in these games normally, like, or even in Street Fighter, any of the typical, Marvel versus Capcom. Like, you're Spider-Man, I'm Wolverine, I got Mega Man, but we're in Blanca's hideout, and that's it. This is like the worlds colliding. So in Ratchet.
And everybody is not only playing against each other, but they're playing a game. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, it's a battle against each other. And then the the environment changes. So you're in the middle of like Ratchet and Clank's universe, and then suddenly the Hydras from God of War just burst
come into
in
the Ratchet
and start
Clank
shooting
world.
Shooting stuff at the fighters while they're taking each other out. Yeah, it's really great. It's a top notch game. I'm looking forward to it. And the crew is such a great crew. They were hand selected for this project. So like, because I asked them, I'm like, I think the name of their company is
like a Nerd Team Six.
Exactly. I was like, oh, how come I haven't heard of you? They're like, because we were made to do this. Like Sony was like, we want that guy and that guy and that guy and that guy.
I really do like that. It is a Nerd Team Six.
It is.
That's like,
this is great. And they're good guys. Yeah, they're great.
I like that when you said, what do you, they go, well, we can't really talk about it.
Yeah, no,
can't really tell you.
So I played a Sly all three rounds. I was like, well, I gotta play a Sly.
Right, right.
I think the other guys are trying everybody else out. I'm like, I was Sly every time. I got third place or better.
Nice.
By better, I mean worse. Oh.
So third, everybody after third doesn't even count.
Doesn't count. Yeah. It's the best. So then we went. So then I walked over and checked out Thieves in Time on the PlayStation 3, and they've got
what
two
is this
levels.
Game? I've never heard of.
Yeah. Well, Sly Cooper is a master thief from mm-hmm. a long line of thieves mm-hmm. who keep all their secrets of sneaking and stealing an ancient book, the Devious Raccoonus.
Like stealing some tail off a chick.
No.
Oh.
So the game looks fantastic, and you know, getting the chance to play it was really great. To do the sushi world, you got to play as Ryoichi, this character that we've been talking about for 10 years, finally exists in reality, run around, and it's a great little story. It turns out that he's also a good sushi chef, so he's got these to unlock these doors, like these bad guys have taken over his sushi store, and so that to get into the store and turn on the sign to let them know, like, screw you, I'm back, you have to steal knives off of people, and that's what unlocks your door. And it's got all these great little sneaking, and the movements are different for Ryuichi than for Sly. And then, like, he kind of skids and moves like a ninja, different from Sly, who's, like, really tight and corner like an acrobat. Speaking of acrobats, then you get to play a little one level that's when the first time you meet Sir Galleth, which is his London ancestor from back in medieval London. And that's pretty great. You go through and get to shoot a bow and arrow like Robin Hood and hit these darts and then run across. I got to ask him how they did it, and it might have just been the glory of E3 or these amazing headphones that I was wearing, but Sly sounded like he was in HD. Like, I'm listening to this, I'm like, that's me. That guy sounds awesome. Like,
he sounds pretty incredible.
You know, I've been doing Sly for a while.
And I've heard him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I hear it all the time. And, you know, it's a testament to the good writing, it's a testament to the good direction, it's a testament to the good game, but there was something about it where I was like, this feels like an animated film. Like, I felt like I often will lose myself when playing the game of, like, forgetting that, oh, yeah, that's me. But I completely was in awe of going, wow, that sounds nothing like me, but it sounds like super me.
Yeah.
So I'm really impressed. I don't know what kind of effects they're putting on the game, but it looks and sounds fantastic. So then the big news is that they released at E3 is that Sly's Thieves in Time is released on the Vita as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then it has cross-save functionality,
oh,
so you
yeah.
play it on the PlayStation, hit pause, load it up on your Vita exactly where you were.
Just like
going.
The commercial did, but only for a baseball game.
Exactly. And that was the only thing. So that was great. I went back. So this is the best part of the whole show. I went over there, and I was chatting with one of the ladies, and it was like, oh, yeah, I'm Voice of Sly. And she's like, oh, we've got Vita over there. You should go check it out. So I walk over there, take one of the consoles, and they've got like four stations with the Vita sitting there with Sly running. And I come up to it, and I look at it and start to play, and I realize I'm like, oh, I can't hear it. And I turn the volume all the way up. And then I put it to my ear, and I can't hear anything. And I was like, "Oh, that's okay, whatever." And I was thinking, I got earbuds in my backpack. Nah, don't worry about it. I'll just play it and see how it does on the thing. And then I hear this shouting, "The headphones! Headphones!" I look up, and Matt and Glenn are upstairs watching me down below,
waiting for their next interview.
And they're going, "Kevin, use the headphones!" I was like, "Dumbass!" Sure enough, those same sweet, amazing headphones that were on every other game that I had played the whole time I was there, we're sitting right there.
I see.
They're sitting right next to the
Vita.
Thought
they were saying, use your headphones. It'll be worth it.
They were saying, there are headphones.
We put you in that game, too.
Yeah, from their perspective, they just saw me. They're like, oh, look, it's Kevin. He's playing the Vita.
Why can I do this?
Is he
so
putting it up to his ear?
Hello?
Use the headphones, dumbass.
Is that Sly telling me that?
It's not you're talking. So it's so great.
I like the visual of you holding a Vita to your head like a phone. No, that's Hello? That's the Hello? PlayStation Go.
Or what's their phone name? Or what is it?
Yeah. The PS Go.
Yeah, PS Go.
That'd be pretty great. So check that out. And it's great because they, the PlayStation 3 controller has the R2 and 3. Mm-hmm. Then the Vita only has the two trigger buttons. So yeah. I was like, are they going to use the back panel for the third button for the other buttons and stuff? No. They put them down here on the lower corners of the screen. Super easy to get to. So because when you usually use like the L trigger 2 or L2 or R2, you usually think about it. You're not like reactive. So this, it was the same thing. Like, okay, time to hit that mode.
Yeah.
It was very easy to get to and very simple. And it looked great, too, and it sounded great. And so it'll be fantastic to be able to play that on the Vita. How are we doing on time?
Almost
I
done.
Still
Five
haven't
minutes.
Left the Sony booth.
Sorry, we got two apps, bro. We got two apps.
Okay, this is what happened last time. We did all Sony for one episode, then I squeezed everything in.
The people that listen to the show, listen to the show because you're Sly Cooper. If they want to hear something that is not Sony, then they need to find the I'm Mario podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerks.
The second funniest Wario.
We'll have to, next week we'll have to talk about the press conferences for E3, and Matt Kramer has agreed to be on the show, so we'll have him on.
Oh, snap.
That'll be happening in the next couple weeks, so dicka-dicka-dicka-dow. You heard it here first.
That's right.
Matt will be on the show.
To not talk about the game.
Yeah. Just silent.
Does he have an NDA?
Very, very thick. I met a guy named Bailey Roberts at that party who was a producer at Sony who is like, I have to watch this guy. He's listened to our show. He's listening right now.
Who?
Gosh, I really hope
Matt
I got
Kramer?
Bailey. Gosh, I really hope I got the name right. I hope it's Bailey Roberts. If that's not your name, I'm sorry. You know who I'm talking about because you're hilarious. But he and this other
and
dude.
And dead sexy, yeah, y'all.
He's a good looking guy. They went off about this whole idea about the infinite game, like for 2 minutes that you walk into a bar and anything can happen, that you can do anything. They were trying to work it out, like how do you build the technology? This is what happens when you go to E3 parties. Like they were going at it. They're like, well, then you do this, and then because it's only 2 minutes, you can plan for every single option, like anything. Talk to this person, do this thing, order this drink, yell at this guy, anything, and then it starts over. Every 2 minutes, I'm like, yeah, I'd play that game.
So it's like a Groundhog Day game?
More, yeah, exactly. But the point is that you can do anything as opposed to like you can only interact like this or do that.
So
like,
you could walk into the bar, get a drink, and then leave.
And then leave. Or walk into the bar, walk up to the bartender.
Touch the bartender.
And then see what happens.
He shoots you and then
exactly.
You wake up back in entering the bar.
Exactly. Got it. That was their idea. It was pretty sweet. So he wants to be on the show as well. He listened to the episode since Matt and Chris have been on, and he said he sat down to listen to make sure that we weren't breaking our NDAs. And he's like, those bastards better not be breaking their NDAs. And he said he listened to the whole thing and laughed the whole time. I was like, oh, crap, did they say anything they weren't supposed to? So all this time I've been wondering, like, oh, I wonder if they listened. They've listened.
Yeah.
Like we've got some big wigs listening
That's
to
right.
the show. So
Damn
I walk
Skippy.
Over to Epic Mickey because they've got
so maybe we should be mentioning putting a racial stereotype of a KFC guy into games as an Easter egg. Maybe all that time we were making fun of the fans, like they don't care. They're not going to do
maybe
that.
Maybe they do care. guys, listen. They want Justin in the game. Justin should be Sly's dad.
I just want to end, but it has to be some racial stereotype, greatly offensive.
I think, okay, let's move on. We almost backed into a garage door that was closed. So in the PlayStation area, they had Epic Mickey 2 sitting out there, and that game is fantastic. So the because it was early in the morning, and gamers don't show up till 1 o'clock anyway. I kind of had the run of the place, and I walk over there and meet this guy Adam, and he's a big Disney geek just like me. And he's one of the developers for the game, and we geeked out about Disney so hard, and he showed me all this amazing stuff, the stuff they're doing for that game. I wasn't terribly super impressed with the first game. It looked kind of like standard side-scroller action to me, but this game is like open world-ish, and you have the paint thinner or the paint, and so you go into these, and then depending on what you want to do will affect the game. So in the world, like, you'll come to a painting, and half of it is painted out, and half of it is like a sketch. And so if you completely erase the paint using the thinner, that will determine what the level is you go into. Or if you paint over it, that will determine the level that you go into. Mm. And so paint, like, there's these goblin guys that come at you. You hit them with paint, they become your friends, and they'll go and fight other bad guys. If you hit them with thinner, they die. And so it's got a little of that, like, good versus evil to it. But at the same time, it's, like, made by people who love Disney. They said they went back and they were using concept art from Fantasia. They were going down and slowing the film down to the frames and zooming into the corners so they could catch stuff that has been lost over years. They're like, oh, yeah, over here on the side, there's this thing. Everything in the game, the guy told me, comes from somewhere within Disney. And it's super great. And it made me, I was like, oh, I'm so glad this is going to be on the PlayStation because... I want to get this. I want to get this real soon. So that's coming out in the fall, and I recommend it pretty strongly. And that's from, you know, I kind of not turned my nose up. I was like, oh, well, it's a Disney game. That looks okay. But this is a Disney game.
Because they've always made, other than Kingdom Hearts, all the Disney games are very kid-ish.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. And this was challenging. I mean, I know it was E3, but he and I worked together. It's got a great vertical split screen mode, which I was like, vertical. Who would have thought? Because now with LCD screens, right, the aspect ratio
is wider than it is
rectangle.
Tall.
So it's like cut that down the middle, top to bottom. And I was like,
I don't understand why racing games haven't done. Although I haven't opened up my Formula One game. Evidently, there's a split screen. But anyway, I'm sorry.
That's So and then Oswald. Oh, there it is. Well, it's kind of because you know the premise is that Mickey fights in the first game fights his older brother, Walt Disney's original creation, which is all
Steamboat Willie.
No, his name is Oswald. And then Universal Studios had purchased the rights to it, and they got into a complication. So he invented Mickey. So this game, in 2006, they reacquired the rights to Oswald. This is reality.
That's awesome.
Okay. And so that this game was like Oswald being jealous of Mickey for having all this fame and fortune, and he had been
because
shut
of a
out.
Stupid lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so now, and then in the second game, you team up with Oswald. So Mickey's got paint and thinner, and Oswald's got this remote control gadget that can either shock or reprogram stuff. So it looks pretty fantastic. I recommend it strongly. Next time we'll talk about all sorts of stuff. There's so many other booths at E3.
So many? So there's more than just Sony there. I don't see the point in anything else, to be honest. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't sound like it. All right, you can give us a call, 408-228-4911. Send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Don't forget to keep telling your friends about the show. Let's grow this thing big. Let's go it strong. Then
E3 size.
Yeah.
By 2013 E3, we're going to have a booth there.
Ooh, you know what we should find out is whether or not people... We'll find this out before the next episode. Whether or not people could start to pre-order their Thieves in Time.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can?
It's available for pre-order.
So click through the Amazon banner on our wonderful site and pre-order Thieves in Time.
Yeah.
Let's hook up our listeners that are listening from Sanzuru. Not necessarily for entertainment purposes, but more of like a Big Brother type situation. But then, aw, snaps, we come into the back door and entertain them. I'm going to let that just sit there. So, on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.
Is it weird that I'm taking off clothes right now?
You know. Feels right, Daddy.